Welcome to installment 127 of Sefer HaMitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains one commandment, Prohibition 154, again relating to the agricultural gifts, which one is required to separate from the crops. This prohibition is a prohibition against giving these gifts and separating them in an improper order. The Rambam gives an example and explains the essence of this prohibition. For example, the Rambam says that after one has threshed the grain and piled it up, they are called tevel. Before the prescribed gifts have been separated, they are strictly forbidden to be eaten and are called tevel. The first thing one must do is separate truma gadela, approximately 1/50th or 2% of the harvest. Afterwards, he takes maaser rishon, the maaser which is 1/10th of the remainder. Afterwards, let us say, for example, that it is the first or second year of the seven-year cycle, he would take what's called Maaser Sheni, a second Maaser. Another tenth from the remainder is separated from Maaser Sheni. What does he do with these three portions? The first Truma that he took is given to the Kohen. The Maaser that he took is given to the Levi. And the Maaser Sheni, the last tenth which he took, he can keep for himself, but keeps it separate in order to be eaten in holiness in the city of Jerusalem. This is the order in which the various gifts must be separated. If one violates this order and takes them out of order, he is violating this prohibition. As it says in the book of Exodus, chapter 22, verse 28, one must not delay, meaning, do not delay, do not change the order of Mleyascha V'dimacha. What are these two words referring to? The Rambam quotes the Mechilta, which says, Mleyascha, which means literally the fullness, is referring to the first fruits, the Bikurim. Dimacha is referring to Truma. As we know, the Bikurim, the first fruit, must be brought even before the Truma. And the word Loisa Acher, that they must not be delayed, refers to changing the order of between the Truma and the Bikurim and the Truma and the Maaser and the Maaser Rishon and the Maaser Sheni, that the order which we have prescribed must be kept to and must be adhered to. Nevertheless, the Rambam quotes the Mishnah in Shaktei Trumas, which says that even though the person has violated a prohibition by separating these gifts out of order, nevertheless, we do not say that the separation is invalid and the person must do it in the correct order. Let us say, for example, the person separated Maaser before the Truma. Really, he should take the Truma before the Maaser. First take the portion for the Kohen and then the portion for the Levi. If he does it in reverse, we do not say it's invalid, or do not say that the first separation is for the Kohen automatically. If the person declared that this first separation is Maaser, even though he has transgressed his prohibition by taking Maaser before Truma, nevertheless, what he has done is valid, and this counts as Maaser and can be given to the Levi. One might view this commandment as an outgrowth of the commandment to give the best part of one's harvest for these particular gifts. As the statement in the Chumash is, Kol Chelev Lashem, as a gift to Hashem, you must bring the fattest part, or the choicest part, as a gift. As the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe explained, that this applies not only in what you give, but when you give it. As he said in regard to the teaching of Torah, and the study of Torah in America, after he arrived in America, that Kol Chelev Lashem, that the best part must be given to Hashem, means in time also, that the beginning of the day is the choicest time, when the mind is still fresh and open, and therefore the beginning of the day should be used for davening, for prayer, and for the Torah study in the case of children. Those children that must learn secular studies as well, for whatever reason, should learn it only in the afternoon. The primary freshness and the time the mind should be most open is in the beginning of the day, and this time should be most used for the study of Torah. We therefore see that one must guard the order which is prescribed by the Torah, even in common everyday things as well. The Chinuch points out one result of changing the order. After all, what does the Kohen care which order it is separated in? He could still be given his gift first, even if the Levi's gift is separated previously. However, the Chinuch points out that by changing the order prescribed in the Torah, one is altering the percentages which the Torah wishes to be given. For example, let's say a person had 100 pounds of grain. If separating 1/50th or 2% of his crop, he would give 2 pounds to the Kohen. Then he is left with 98 pounds. Out of this 98, he must take 1/10th and give it to the Levi. Therefore, the Levi gets 9.8 pounds. Let us say, however, that the person first took Maaser Rishon to give to the Levi. He would then take 1/10th of 100. The Levi, instead of receiving 9.8 pounds, would be receiving 10 pounds. And the Kohen, instead of receiving his 2 pounds, will only get 2% of 98, instead of 2% of 100. The Al-Sheikh points out another interesting fact relating to this mitzvah. That at the end of the verse in the book of Exodus, after declaring that there is a prohibition to change the order, the end of the very same verse states, "Becher bonecha titen li," that your firstborn child must be given to me, which declares that the firstborn must be redeemed by the Kohen, since he essentially belongs to Hashem, and therefore to be given over to the Kohen. The Al-Sheikh points out that by being careful in giving all of one's tithes, all of these agricultural gifts, that a person will be rewarded. That even though in amount the person's gift may be insignificant, that he is keeping the vast majority of the harvest for himself, nevertheless he will be given a great reward. As the verse concludes, "B'chor b'necha," that children will be given to him, the great and wondrous blessing of being given many children from Hashem.
Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs, a project of Sichas in English. For more information or to sponsor one of the shiurim, contact us at 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.